Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a special edition of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line, celebrating over 50 years of serving St. Louis.
The pitch.
Swing and a long one. Get up, baby. Get up, get up.
Hands gone. Oh, yeah.
From Jupiter, Florida and Cardinals Spring Training 2019, this is Sports Open Line, sponsored by American Eagle Credit Union, your hometown home loan provider. On your home for the best Cardinals coverage, KMOX.
Here we go. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. It is the Monday, February 11th, 2019 edition of the program as we are live in Jupiter, Florida and at Cardinals Spring Training. That's right. We are across the street from Roger Dean Stadium. For the first time this spring, we will take you on KMOX. Not just on the radio, but on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on a journey through camp until opening day. So thrilled to be here and so excited to have you with us. The Cardinals will officially get things going for pitchers and catchers tomorrow. They will also welcome in the rest of the position players, although just about everyone is here already. You see more and more position players really every hour. It seems like trickle in, and the guys who are just getting here for the first time saying their hellos and greeting the rest of their teammates and getting things going. And, you know, for a lot of guys, they've been here now for quite some time, whether it's players that live here in the off season or, you know, came down to avoid the cold or got here a couple of weeks ago or whatever. But the point is it's already a very, very busy camp, and we're really excited to be here. I'll tell you in a moment what we've got coming up on the show tonight and really our plans for the next 2 months. We'll let you know, though, that Pony Bird, our KMOX Voice of February caring partner, has been serving non-ambulatory individuals of all ages with intellectual and developmental disabilities for over 42 years. Visit KMOX.com/caring for more info. All right, so here's what we've got. We've got right now Sam Masterson down here in Jupiter, Florida with me. You can watch us right now on Facebook Live if you are so inclined for the next couple of minutes as we kind of give you an overview of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, will join us down here tomorrow. Mike Claiborne has been here since last spring. I'm just kidding, but he's been here for a while and is also going to be joining us a little bit later tonight. Mike Anderson back in our KMOX studios, and it is the first spring edition of the Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line. Now, as far as what we're going to be doing on a day-to-day basis, I think that this will be a spring unlike any other because of the abilities that we have, and especially with Sam here and with Ben here, with myself here, our team here, Klebs here, Tom here later, the ability to bring you a different look from spring training. What I mean by that is not necessarily anything that you haven't seen before, but I think your participation and your involvement is going to be something that we really put a priority on this year. I know I'm excited about that, and I know from whether it be interviews or conversations with the other writers or taking you out to let you know how, you know, the team does things, things will be different for us because things will be different for the Cardinals, because Mike Schilt now is in his first spring as the Cardinals manager. And not to say that they're going to be, you know, doing anything too radically different, but I think that, you know, you assume and you safely assume that maybe the feel will change, maybe the actual activity will change. And I can say that pretty confidently because that changed last year in season. And I'm excited to see how Schilt, his staff, both the returning members and also some of the new additions, the players, both the returning guys guys that are young players that have either gotten a taste of the big leagues or knocked on the door, guys that are new to the organization, how they will also add to that implementation of change this spring. You know, we're going to talk Blues later as well, and I think a lot of parallels to the Blues run right now and the Cardinals run last August. The question now for the Cardinals, as they are not, you know, 30 games away from a potential playoff appearance like the Blues, the question is, how do you use the way things changed last season and the second half of last season? How do you then carry those into this year, and what does that mean for the team? What does that mean for the coaching staff, for the players, for the front office, for the DeWitt family, and ultimately for the fans? Because as I say all of this, I think the most important thing to focus on is that while change has happened, both in the coaches, the staff, the players, the departures of some guys, the addition of a superstar, a bona fide superstar for the first time in quite some time, all of that is great. You can change, you know, you can change during the regular season. You can change during spring training. But if that change doesn't lead to a change at the end of the year and ultimately doesn't lead to a change in the way the last three seasons have ended, and that is being on the outside of the postseason looking in, then no one's going to remember how spring training changed, or how the coaching staff changed, or, you know, what you did in the third week of February. All of the change that has happened and is going to continue to happen has to result in a change to the way this team has performed on the field. Not just day-to-day, not just in terms of the fundamentals or the mistakes or the production, but the ultimate change has to be making the postseason. Has to be making the postseason. Otherwise, you know, a change is going to come, in the words of Sam Cooke. And I know right now it might be hard to consider or fathom how you could change more drastically than what's happened over the last, what, 7 calendar months? Go back to the All-Star break of last year. It's been 7 months, I guess. 8 months, whatever. But that, I think, is what we will focus on. So I think change for a lot. I think it'll be different experiences for a lot. And our goal, our job, our mission is to make you, the fan, the listener, make you a part of that change from now until we all get to hang out at Busch Stadium for the first time on, what, the second Thursday of April? First Thursday of April? First home game of the season. So that is what I'm seeing. Yeah, well, we're getting a lot of questions right now. I'll stay on the Facebook Live, Sam, during our first commercial break and answer some of these questions. Mike Claiborne's going to be with us when we come back. We'll chat with Claibs. We'll visit with Chris Kerber as well. That'll be at 7:30 tonight. Kerbs is going to have Chili's Week in Hockey from 8 until 10 tonight. He's got Marty Brodeur, Darren Pang. He's got a really good show coming up. So thank you to everyone who's helped us get down here already, not just the folks at KMOX, Steve Moore, Program Director, and Tom Ackerman, but also Ann Carroll, Ben Boyd, Sam Masterson. You'll hear a lot of their names coming up. Mike Anderson back in our studios. What's on Tap brought to you by Midwest Money. That's Mike Claiborne, and he's next. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports, up line from Jupiter on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln, and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
On KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line in Jupiter, Florida. Chris Raby joined by Mike Claiborne. We finally get a chance to sit down for our first in-person visit of the spring after some travel issues yesterday, getting in late. We made it, though. I would much rather Claibs have to sit around the airport for however many hours and be delayed and then eventually get to Florida than not have to deal with that and still be in the cold weather. No offense to anyone back in St. Louis. That's just the way I feel.
That's why I left when I left.
Yeah, you've made that very clear to everyone.
I'm allergic to cold weather, as you probably know. And I had a very heated discussion with somebody who did not accept the fact that I left as early as I did.
I've got an idea, maybe.
So, anyway, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're safe.
Sam Masterson is here. Ben Boyd's on the way.
Ben Boyd will be here. You know, you mentioned being stuck in an airport. There are a handful of airports that you don't mind being stuck in.
No, man.
Colorado, Denver, Pittsburgh is a good one.
Even like Atlanta, there's a ton of stuff to do. You can get on the tram.
There's always something to do there. And then there's some places you don't want to be stuck in. And St. Louis is one of them, unless you're in the main concourse.
Yeah, that's where
you can
Southwest.
Go to like Mike Shannon's Grill or somewhere. But if you're on the Southwest concourse,
we're Southwest. Yeah. Well, and here's the issue. So I have a 7:40 flight yesterday, and generally what I will do when I'm traveling is park my vehicle at KMOX and get an Uber to the airport. So I did that yesterday, and I thought I allowed myself plenty of time because, you look outside yesterday at 5 o'clock in the morning, and despite the forecast and what they were calling for, there didn't appear to be any precipitation, and it wasn't snowing, it wasn't raining. I took about 2 steps out of my apartment and fell right on my ass, so I guess I should have known then that the ice was an issue, but the roads from my apartment to KMOX were fine, but from like 5 o'clock until 6 or 7, like things got really bad and really, really scary. And from getting to KMOX, calling an Uber, getting the Uber, which is generally about a 2-minute wait any time of day, if you're downtown, really anywhere in the city. And then getting to the airport, all in all, that was about a 2.5, 2-hour, 45-minute process. Like, and God bless my Uber driver, Hope. We made it. I'll put it that way. But we spent a lot of quality time together.
A lot of bonding there on that.
Was a lot of. She was gripping the wheel and she was doing a lot of praying.
Oh,
she said, "It's Sunday. I know I should be in church right now and not be on the wheel."
She might stop off after she drops you off.
And Klebs, it looked like The Walking Dead. It looked like a horror movie. We got the first couple of miles on 70 okay, and people are driving slow. We're going maybe 30, 40 miles an hour. But right at about Natural Bridge and 70, Klebs, I'm being completely serious. It looked like a horror movie. Cars were stopped in the middle of the road with their hazards on. People were out of their cars not knowing what was going on. There were, heaven forbid, first responder vehicles that had run off the road and were in ditches. There were people facing the wrong way. It was one of the eeriest things I've ever been a part of. I can't really describe what it felt like. I kept wondering if I was somehow having some really, really strange dreams. So we eventually got to the airport somehow. And after checking in and being delayed, they actually boarded our flight. And then told us all to come off the flight. And we had already rebooked the second leg of the flight. Then we went back and, along with a couple other folks that were headed here as well. Emily and Elizabeth from Cardinals Insider, also a couple of guys from that McKernan outfit. We were able to rebook, and they said, okay, but you can't go out until 5:55 p.m., and that's a nonstop to Lauderdale. So at that point, I had just been on the roads. It's like 9 o'clock right now. I wanted no part of going back home, and I didn't even think I could get back home. So we went and sat at Chili's for a while, shout out Airport Chili's, and it wasn't until about noon that there looked like there were some Ubers available. I went home, showered, took a quick nap, came back to the airport, and then everything was okay. But that was scary, man. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever been a part of yesterday morning, because that ice, unlike snow, which you can move or you can drive through, or rain where you can get under an underpass and you can wait, there's nothing you can do about that ice.
You're helpless.
And nobody
you're
sees right. it. You even saw cars with four-wheel drive trying to go 5-10 miles an hour and just starting to spin the wrong way. It was really, really bizarre. I hope everyone's okay. I know there were a ton of accidents and other issues around St. Louis, but, don't mess with it if you don't have to. looking back on it, I don't know if I would have gotten in that Uber had I known what was going to happen. I probably would have just changed my flight because Southwest had given you that option on the app or the website with the days leading up to it, but you obviously want to avoid that. So anyway, long story long, we're here and we're ready to go. And I will say that I give Southwest a lot of credit. I know that other airlines flew out and Sam and Kyle were able to get here, but you know, safety's first and hope everyone was okay. And I thank everybody at the airport and all the workers who often do a really thankless job and probably had to deal with a lot of BS and a lot of people that were really mad at them yesterday for something that they don't control. You know, it's not the woman at the gate. She doesn't make it ice. And then she's not, sorry to tell you, she's not the one in the corporation who's deciding to shut down flights.
They couldn't pay me enough to have that.
Can you
job.
Believe that? Like, being at an airport also will tell you a lot about people. Because it is the hub, no pun intended, of the service industry. And everyone from the sky caps outside to the security guards to the folks with the airlines to the people at the shops and the restaurants. Like, you can do a lot of observing and tell a lot about people the way they treat folks if they're having a bad day. And I understand traveling can be stressful and it can be obnoxious, but you know, don't take that out on other people because it won't make you feel any better.
I agree.
So we made it. And I know you were over this morning. Sam was over this morning. It was another busy day over there. It looks like
a
normal
bus station
workouts
over there. I think everybody's here just about. I know all the pitchers are here and the catchers are here. And there are a lot of regulars that are here also. You get a few guys that will wait until the last minute to show up. But a lot of spirit, a lot of moving around, a lot of catch playing. And that's really what this is about. You had some guys that threw some bullpens today. And they'll talk more tomorrow and go through the physicals and everything. But, you know, it's just good to have everything starting to move in the right direction.
How about getting your body into a routine, whether it's – you know, last year we spoke at the beginning of camp about sleep cycles and the Cardinals wanted to adjust some of the sleep schedule of the guys or a workout schedule. I imagine that, you know, when you're starting this thing, even spring training for the next 7 weeks, something as simple as getting down here and getting in the rhythm of when to go to bed, when to wake up, when to maybe take your nap, when to eat.
That's why make sure you're a guy like Jack Flaherty got here early to get himself, being a West Coast guy.
Make sure you're drinking enough water because you haven't been standing in the sun for hours for the last couple. I mean, I think that's so important. And Claves, I'm thinking back to your conversations with Dr. Butler.
We got another one scheduled for this year.
Right. And the performance aspect of it, let's forget showing up in shape because while guys do that now and maybe are in even better shape during the offseason because of the time to work out and work with trainers, the side of it that I think is really still evolving and evolving around all sports is the nutrition side of it. Because you may have 10 years ago had guys, or even 5 years ago, had guys show up and be in good shape, but then they still might go out and, you know, eat something that now you wouldn't normally eat. You'll have guys who bring in their own meals here or have stuff sent to them. I mean, the nutrition aspect of it really comes with its own set of analytics almost as a part of the front office.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that it's been a game changer. And I know some of it has a lot to do with the physical result, but you also wonder how many guys who think this it's more mental, where if you gave some of these guys a placebo, they would think, oh, man, I feel great, you know. And so I think it's more of a mental edge than maybe it is physical at the end of the day. But, you know, I was talking to one of the performance guys the other day about that very thing. And even the protein bars that they use now are different. And what do you eat after a game and structuring meals in the clubhouse? A lot of things go into it now. And I guess my thing is, hey, look, if the guy can hit 290, I don't care what he's eating.
You know, the NBA is the craziest part of that because you'll have guys show up. I remember in Memphis, Rudy Gay would show up to camp every year at 240 and bragging about how big he was because he was lifting all summer. And then you start running up and down and playing those games. He's down to 215 in 2 weeks. And those guys try, like, not only are you trying to recover and you're trying to get your meal after a flight or after a game, but then oftentimes your body is trying to recover on an airplane at 40,000 feet. It's fascinating what they do in the NBA to try and deal with that. And, you know, obviously they're traveling with small teams, but the men are very large. So anything from taking out rows on the planes to putting in massage tables, and I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff and the amount of money that teams invest into that.
Some teams do a great job. Other teams just go with standard stuff. Cardinals are probably somewhere in the middle. But there are some teams in Major League Baseball and certainly in the NBA. NFL, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, you travel one day a week. But the NBA and the NHL have really set a bar. And there are some teams in Major League Baseball that have really started to buy in on it. In what you feed a guy on a plane, because I was reading a study where, you know, sometimes the food is oversalted because you allegedly lose somewhere between 20 and 25% of your taste buds at altitude. And there's so many other things that come with that. And I'm conscious of what I eat on the plane. You know, it's a lot different than what it used to be. You just grab a cheeseburger or whatever and drink, and they've got a different outlook on it now.
One of the most, and we'll get to some Cardinal stuff in a minute, but one of the most fascinating pieces that I've read in a long time, and don't laugh when you hear it, it was about peanut butter and jelly in the NBA.
Because I love it.
It has become, and you can Google ESPN NBA peanut butter and jelly. It started, rumor has it, when Garnett and Pierce and Allen and those guys were all in the Celtics, because I guess Garnett was a big, got to eat peanut butter and jelly before a game every day. And it went over there, and then it started making its way around the league. Certain teams have certain chefs or food rooms that make great peanut butter and jellies, and it's become this thing around the league now that's very, very widespread. And now teams are working with trainers to try and figure out, you know, how to make it better for you, whether it's organic peanut butter or gluten-free bread. But do you remember a couple of years ago when the Warriors had it was kind of a funny story, but had like a revolt almost because the team trainer said on the plane they couldn't eat peanut butter and jelly, and he took it off the plane.
Yeah.
So I think it was Steph Curry one day asked one of the flight attendants after a game for a peanut butter and jelly, and she said, "We don't have any," and they all freaked out.
Land the plane now.
Man. Yeah, man. That was the one thing I wasn't yelling yesterday. I did not want the plane to touch down. But Google that. It's an incredible story. It really, really is fascinating, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. All right, when we come back, Klebs, I, in our first segment, was going through kind of the five big storylines that I think I identify right now in terms of the next, well, getting camp started, obviously all of spring, but I think right now on paper, if you kind of polled people, these are probably the five maybe areas of focus. I'll bounce them off you and get your thoughts. We'll do that when we come back. We are in Jupiter, Florida. It is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you. And we're back after this on KMOX.
One place for all your sports. America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Our first day of spring training coverage, it's the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you. Mike Anderson back in our KMOX studios. Sam Masterson is down here. Ben Boyd is headed down tomorrow. All right, Klebs, I will throw the five stories that I came up with, or I guess the five storylines that I came up with right now, kind of the five headlines as we enter the spring. And I do think these are potentially in order of, well, I don't want to say importance because one position isn't necessarily more important than anything, but just in terms of kind of buzz and what I think we'll be talking about. Right now off the bat, here are my five. I will go five, the bottom, to one, the biggest, and then we will talk about them in reverse order. All right, so number five. So my fifth storyline, I kind of said, who will emerge as the wild card? And that could be a player that breaks camp with the club, like Jordan Hicks last year, that nobody thought. That could be a player that And when I say wild card, I'm saying a younger player, not necessarily someone with no big league experience, but a younger player from within the organization, probably a minor leaguer, who stands out and then leaves camp with them saying, wow, we're going to keep an eye on him, and he's going to be up very, very soon potentially. Whether it be someone who just has a great camp and maybe breaks with the Cardinals, someone maybe from the backfields who comes up and gets a shot. I'm not asking you to identify the player, but I think with the depth of the organization, and for the first time, the depth of the organization in terms of position players to match the pitching, I think that a big story will be who that guy will be, who those guys potentially will be, and how the Cardinals' young players and how some of that depth in the organization shows out this spring.
I think it'll be a kid they got, the left-handed reliever from Tampa. I think he's going to be a guy. And, you know, the outfield situation is so crowded right now. But I know that they want to get a long look at Lane Thomas.
Well, that's a good thing, though, yeah. Because maybe it would be like Pham a couple of years ago who, you know, started in the minor leagues, then came up, joined the club, I believe, in that Atlanta series, raked in that series, then never looked back and put up just a ridiculous 2017.
Yeah,
Harrison Bader last year.
I think Lane Thomas would be another guy.
Absolutely. So there is pitching, there are position players, and we're going to see a ton of those guys. Will we get a look at, you know, Nolan Gorman? Will we get to see him with some of the guys, with some of the Cardinals pitching on the backfields?
They'll give him a taste.
You know, I think that some of the infielders they have, especially the third base position, you mentioned Lane Thomas, and some really exciting arms. I'm eager to see Ryan Helsley as he's healthy now after he went through some issues last year. And then certainly there are guys that got a taste of the big leagues last year and are now still a part of the club. So I said number five, I said, who is the wild card? Number four, I said Mike Schilt's first camp. And obviously he's been a part of running camp and to different extents a part of organizing things and executing things. But, you know, this is his first spring as the skipper. He's got a couple of pieces on his coaching staff now, new guys, and he's got some new faces on his club, and it's going to be his camp.
I think this will be an active camp. You know, there used to be a saying, if you played a grass sport, only the mailman walks on the grass. You know, you're hustling to your position or to your station or whatever. And I just think that there's going to be more accountability in how you go through drills and how you take at bats and how you run the bases and how you play defense. I think these guys are going to get pushed a little bit more than what we've been accustomed to seeing. And I think that's good. I think we need a change of pace. I think there's a lot of energy in this camp already from players who Mike has been in touch with. And, you know, he talked to every player in the offseason quite a bit. So I think that these guys are anxious to get out and do things. So I think the adage that we've been accustomed to, well, we want to save the guys for the season. Well, we did that, and they weren't very good at the beginning of the year. So I think you're going to see a team that's going to be ready to play opening day.
When's the last time that this club had back-to-back offseasons, so 2 years in a row, where they brought in a pitching coach and a hitting coach from outside the organization?
Yeah. You'd have to look back, way back. And I like the fact that the hitting coach is a guy that came through the organization.
You said Mike Schilt was running camp his first year.
I know people who know him better than me, and they say he was the first guy who was able to analyze the analytic element and now be able to implement it to hitters where they don't overload them, but they kind of give them a thought process. I'm anxious to see how that works. But I think overall that aspect of the coaching, I think the Cardinals have made themselves better. You've got guys who play. You've got guys who are hungry. You've got guys who are good teachers. You have guys who have had success. And I think you have guys that know how to communicate.
Between Mike Schilt and Stubby Clapp, I imagine that what percentage of the organization from AA up or AAA up have been managed by one of those two guys? It's pretty high.
Their fingerprints are all over the organization.
Well,
you're
Stubby
right.
Stubby managed 176 players last
year.
So
yeah, their fingerprints are everywhere. And they're straight shooters. They're honest. And I think that's a plus for the Cardinals. I mean, it's a new day. We haven't won a game yet. We haven't played a game yet. I just think it's a new approach.
Speaking of some of those players, I said that my third storyline was going to be pitching. And whether it's the rotation or the bullpen, I think that, in all honesty, I could make the argument that right now only two guys are really perhaps cemented in their spots. And I think that is Miles Michaelis and Jack Flaherty.
I agree. I was thinking the same
thing. Even in the bullpen, like Andrew Miller, like, will have a variety of roles. Like,
you know, you're spot on.
Those are the only two guys.
You know, I think Waka would be in that discussion. I mean, I know he had the injury to shut him down last year. But I agree with you. I think everything else is open for discussion.
There are guys like Waka that, if all goes well and there are no issues, he will be in the rotation. But just, isn't that crazy? But it's not a bad thing. It's not uncertainty due to, oh my gosh, we don't know what we're going to get from this guy. It's uncertainty due to volume, due to competition, and due to some staff changes and maybe evolving in the way that certain guys are used. And it's due to a bunch of guys having a bunch of success in a bunch of different roles last year.
Here's the other thing you have to take into account. You have a couple of guys that are out of options. Well, you have Gant. I think Leon's out of options. And there's one other person.
Myers?
Mike Myers is the other guy. Those are three pretty good pitchers. So, you know, I've kind of taken this approach. You know, I've thrown it to Mike Schilt, and I was running it by Whitey. With Andrew Miller being a guy that has done a lot of different roles, I think he's been most effective as a two-inning pitcher. I think the search is going to be on to find a guy who can do that from the right side. Is that John Gant, who's been a former starter? Is that Adam Wainwright? I mean, there's a lot of guys. So I think you have two guys in your bullpen that are going to pitch twice a week. And pitch twice a week. They'll be the two-inning guy. And then you've got the competition for the one-inning guy. And I think it's just going to be so much fun to watch this. And this is where I mentioned earlier, innings down here are just so important. You know, every outing, you know, could decide your fate. So, and I think that they're going to stretch guys out. I think this whole thing of coming in and facing a guy that's wearing 94 on his back and getting him out, and then you feel good on 12 pitches, I think that's silly. I think you've got to stretch guys out and see what they have. I wouldn't be surprised to see a bullpen start where you have your guys who are closers, your guys that are going to be important to your bullpen. I'd start him against an American League team I'm not facing this year. Maybe I start him against Houston, where they can see some legitimate hitters. Because you've seen enough of these games where we get to the sixth inning, nobody knows who these guys are, and there's a good chance we'll never know who they are. So I think you're going to see some changes as far as how they approach it. Now, granted, these are my thoughts, because I've seen how the other thing worked, and I didn't think it worked very well.
Gant is someone that you mentioned, and I don't want to say he's like an afterthought, but he doesn't really get lumped in when we rattle off all the other names. We say Flaherty, mm-hmm. we say Flaherty and Michaelis, but then we say, you know, Waka, Wainwright, Hudson,
Reyes,
Ponce de Leon, Reyes. You know, we rattle them off, but I don't know if people realized last year, Klibs, John Gant in the big leagues in just his third big league season, and he had thrown only 67 big league innings before that, so he's only 25 years old. Last year, in 114 innings, he made 19 starts, appeared in 26 games, he won 7 games, he struck out 95, and he had a 3.47 earned run average. Like, that's a guy who's a middle-of-the-rotation starter for a lot of teams.
Yeah. And that's why.
And he's just 25.
And that's why he could be
in the rotation.
A rotation guy, but he could be your Trevor or your Andrew Miller from the left, right side.
But if he's out of options, like, Yeah, he could certainly be in the bullpen role. I guess that I think that, and maybe this goes to the wild card spot, John Gant could outpitch a bunch of people and earn a spot in the rotation. And then you can say that Ponce de Leon or Gomber or, maybe one of those guys who have options are either the versatile guy from the, it wouldn't be Gomber from the left. But maybe it's Ponce from the right, or maybe Ponce goes and starts in Memphis until you need him. But, yeah, I think, a perfect example. Dakota Hudson, another guy. But I think that's just a perfect example of how much pitching there is. And then Adam Wainwright, obviously, too. It was, the story of the spring last year that he lost all the weight and he felt great. Obviously, the injury, then he somehow kind of defies the odds, comes back from it, says he feels even better now. And, we'll hear Adam say how healthy he is for the next 2 months. But, that's a big story, because not only is it the feel-good story, Claves, if all goes well after signing the contract and coming back for maybe one more ride, but, can he help this team? Can he be in the rotation? Could he be in the bullpen? I think you made a really, really good point that if he ends up in the bullpen and if he's good there, not only does he have the impact on the field, but then he's sitting in the bullpen with all those guys every single day and talking baseball. And I don't want to, put him out to pasture and put him in the bullpen right now, but, even if he's a starter on this club, he's still around this club, and he'll be able to make an impact in a variety of ways.
Here's what I think is important. This team doesn't – we can't use five-inning pitchers, okay? I mean, because that burns up a bullpen quicker than anything. So I need guys to get me through six. I need guys to get me to seven. I need guys that can get me to eight. But I don't need five-inning pitchers. And the five-inning, 100-pitch deal is it will kill your bullpen. So you're going to have to find guys who are going to be durable. And when they give it everything they've got, as far as getting you to six or seven, then, don't worry. We got a bullpen now.
All right, that's Claves. I'm Chris. We'll take a break. Come back after the top of the hour news. More with Claves as we continue on my five storylines. Want to talk some Blues as well. Chris Kerber will join us at 7:30. It's the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Our first day down in Jupiter, Florida at Cardinals spring training. And we're back after this on your voice for the Cardinals and Blues, KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.